Yeah, Lennox Lewis. Lennox, I'm coming for you.
Is it frustrating to train like you did and then have this in 7 or 8 seconds?
For this fight. I only trained probably 2 weeks or 3 weeks for this fight. I had to bury my best friend, and I dedicated this fight. I wasn't going to fight. I dedicated this fight to him. I was going to rip his heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and Michigan, most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lynch is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm from the Air Force. There's no one that can match me. My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable. And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat your children. Praise be to Allah.
Saying now, Mike.
Hello, welcome to the very first Ringside Frackers. My name is Lewis, and I'm joined by a very, very new cast today for our first ever boxing podcast on the Touchdown Frackers Network. I'm joined today by Dr. Leroy of Touchy Gooners and Touchdown Frackers fandom. How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. I'm good.
It's about time you get to come on a podcast and talk about something that you actually enjoy speaking about for once.
Yeah, true. I'm fed up at Arsenal, so yeah, let me move to this now.
Yeah, Leroy said to me, bro, like, listen, just get me out of this Arsenal podcast, man. I'm tired. Just give me something else to do on a Wednesday evening. So, yeah. We've got Sebi from Mogger and Touchdown Frackers. How you doing, man?
What's good, bro? What's good? Testing out my new virtual screen. Loving it, mate.
Yeah. Who's that behind man. You?
You know the guys, man. Come on, man.
Yeah. All right, cool. We've got Jide. How you doing, man?
Yo, what's good? What's good?
We've got Sate.
Yo.
And we've got a member of how shall I put it? We've got Samson, who I've been led to believe is anti-AJ. Now, listen, he's come on here to defend himself, yeah. But listen, I'm not standing for any AJ criticism on here. All right, let's get that straight from the start.
Wow! This is what I do off the bat.
Welcome, Samson.
You're going to have the villain, man. You're going to have me as the villain, man.
Listen, people got to play their characters. Everyone's got their role. I was told you're the villain. Like Jide said, Samson just disagrees with everything that I say.
It's not true, but GD has some crazy points, like crazy points, and really? Just needs to get shut down. That's why I'm here.
Nah, that's true. Nah, I'm here still.
GD has some wild takes still.
GD has some wild takes, man.
Before we get onto the wild takes, just remember to follow us on Ringside Frackers on Twitter. That's Ringside_Frackers on Twitter. Subscribe to the podcast and all that so you get it every week. What we're going to do is we're going to start with just to get to know everyone. Obviously, we all know each other. We're in like a group chat and turn on Twitter and stuff like that. But this is our first time doing a podcast together, right? And you as an audience, you don't really know too much about us per se, other than maybe our football opinions and whatnot and what you've seen on the timeline. So we're going to start off with a simple little exercise. We're going to go with an unpopular boxing opinion, all right? Just to see what people's opinions and thoughts are on certain things, right? So since Jide is the guy with the crazy views, let's start with him. Jide, what is your unpopular boxing opinion?
To be fair, like, I don't feel like I have a lot of unpopular ones because my ones is they get called unpopular, but it's not really unpopular like that. So maybe one I'd say, for example, is I think Errol Spence never, ever wanted the Terence Crawford fight. Never wanted it, doesn't want it now, and never, ever will want it. He just wants to... He went from strap season to gotta join my own on my own street, and now he's chasing a 168 pounder. He doesn't want Bud, and we know it. He knows it, and his fans know it as well. So yeah, that's fine.
Is that an unpopular opinion amongst this group?
It's not unpopular. It's crazy.
I'm 60-70% there, but not as
okay. So you're almost on the agenda there, yeah.
Almost.
Wow.
Oh,
shit. You're not chatting shit.
Wow.
All right, Dr. Leroy said Jide's chatting shit.
It doesn't even make sense.
Samson said it don't make sense. All right, cool. Well, this is what we're here for, isn't it? This is what we're here for. We're going to get on to some Spence Crawford chat a little bit later anyway. So, Samson, let's go to you then. What's your unpopular opinion?
See, now, I'm going to set the record straight. Like I said earlier, I have nothing against AJ. I think my issue stems from Hearn. I think Hearn is a joke, man. He's just not. I think
fighters stated that as well. No Hearn slander as well, Samson, man. Hearn and AJ are off bounds.
No. You know what it is? Fighters, if their name isn't AJ, go to matching to die. They go there for the career to die. And it's a fact. We're blinded because we see the success of AJ. But if you look at what's actually happening in the landscape, fighters go to Matchroom to die. Their career dies at Matchroom. Matchroom USA is like literally a gravestone. Matchroom UK, death to the fighter. Point blank,
period. What kind of examples have you got, though, of like... Give me the best example of someone... when going to Matchroom.
Andre, I haven't seen him do Nike since he went to Matchroom. I haven't seen Nike really special with...
Is he about to get the GGG fight?
Yeah, they've been saying that since like 2000 whatever. Yeah, they've been saying that since like he's been about to get every fight since he joined Matchroom and has got none.
Mm. But he didn't have anything before Matchroom.
What's that?
He didn't have anything before Matchroom. In fact, at least
that's what
Matchroom.
I was gonna say. Yeah,
which is true.
How much are these things down to a fighter's profile, and like, you know, and Matchroom's inability to maybe progress that profile? But you know, it's down to the fighters as well, right?
That's a really weird take, considering that Matchroom is a promotional company. Promotional companies to promote the fighter and, you know,
promote fights,
promote the fights and the fighter and build their stocks. You know, make them a household name wherever you're enough to be on pay per view. Surely that's meant to be their role.
I think 80% of a fighter's promotion is done in the first part of their career. So if that's done at, there's not much any promoter can do upon inheriting them, I think. And Andre is a fighter that was promoted badly in the first phase of his career.
And is now probably earning more than he would ever earn.
Yeah, agreed. But we're talking the monetary aspect, but in terms of actual career, his career has gone stagnant. GGG, since he's done the Canelo fights, has gone somewhat a bit stagnant personally.
Because GGG only has one option. Like the option for GGG is he wants the third Canelo fight and goes into the sun, but nobody wants to take a Golovkin risk, and Golovkin don't really want to take a risk himself. Like, he don't want to get knocked out by, say, like a Charlo or something like that, and then miss, you know, the big bag, because he's retiring soon, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? So Golovkin is, you know, probably doing the best thing for himself, and he, you know, like people like Golovkin, same with like what's his name? Haney and Demlot. Them man have sorted out their own deal. So they're like not even really promoted by Matchroom like that. Like, it's just like, oh yeah, just put on the fights for me, but I'm going to do my own thing. So that's more of them. Like, Golovkin should be out there.
I was going to say Haney next. I was going to say Haney is meant to be apparently on the same level as Davis, Lopez and co. But really and truly, Haney's probably got the lowest stocks.
Yeah.
Over Ryan Garcia, who personally I think is an Instagram fighter.
It's the way they're structured, they're doing it, like, especially Haney, like, they really want control, so they're their basically own business and like kind of under Matchroom. Matchroom basically sets up everything for them, and they should be doing everything themselves. So for me, I feel like Haney, he definitely needs to take upon himself to do more to promote himself, but you know, it's only so much someone like Eddie can do, because in regards to putting on the big fights, the money's there. Yeah, you know, I mean, it's just about, you know, structure, and it's about Haney building up his own profile, and he needs to be more exciting. He needs to knock people out, because people want to see stuff, especially Brits, they want to see you knock people out. They it's all fun and well being classy and stuff like that, but if you're not knocking nobody out, your profile's not really going to increase the way it needs to.
Also, Weeby Crooks are not helping him. Like, the fact that they created a franchise designation and then gave Haney the WBC, but then everyone's looking at Teofimo, that's not really helping, because he should have had that opportunity if we're being real, but he didn't. And now no one respects the fact that he's champion by just being given the belt. And Teofimo doesn't want to fight him. So if Teofimo don't want to fight him, he can't get his profile. Like, Teofimo caught life by Lomachenko accepting that fight. Loma didn't have to take that fight.
Yeah,
he talked his way into getting that fight. And now, because of that, he's become the man. Haney never got that opportunity.
What's happened to Tevin Farmer? That guy seems to be like, I don't know, maybe they've got him hidden in the closet somewhere.
He got his ass knocked out.
I'll give you
he's
that. I'll give you Farmer.
Yeah, Farmer. But I can't say all of them. Like, most, if we're going to look at the UK landscape, Matchroom is where you want to be. You're going to get the most. At the end of the day, it's prize fight.
Only for AJ. If you're AJ, I agree.
Nah, if you're anyone, you're going to get the most money and you're going to get the most opportunities. That's what you want to do. Like, you look at Quinbury. Like, what's
shout
going
out MTK.
On there?
Shout out MTK that, you know, shout out MTK. They're growing.
Please, thank you. Facts.
We're trying to get some things popping. Yeah.
I was going to say, literally off the back of that, I remember a young boy, O'Hara Davis. You know, they had him promoed up to be the next UK Mayweather, you know, loud and brashing, whatever. Lost the fight and they dashed that guy to the curb.
Like, that's some crazy shit, though.
Boy, you know what? Let's not get into the politics of that one, to be fair.
Let's not, because I'm hoping O'Hara will come on one day.
Yeah.
See him all the time. He's always like down the road from me.
Anyways, if you start going into sort of what he actually said,
Yeah, it's long.
Dr. Lira, let's go to you then. What's your unpopular opinion?
I've got two. And everyone's going to hate me for the first one, but you know what? F it, man. Now, I'm going to put a disclaimer in before Sate tries
no
to...
No caveats.
That's a caveat because Sate's trying to set me up. So, yeah. But anyway, even though he's one of the pound-for-pound best ever, I don't particularly enjoy Roy Jones Jr. fight. Watching Roy Jones Jr. fight as much as most people do.
Okay.
Insanity.
I know. Everyone says I'm nuts. Everyone says I'm nuts.
Explanation, please.
You know what? It's just... He's so unorthodox, it winds me up. It actually pisses me off to watch it. I don't know why. Because I'm thinking he's hitting people. I'm thinking you shouldn't be hitting people the way you're hitting people. And I don't know how you're hitting people the way you're hitting people. And they're just going over. Like, it's a case where the reason he's so good is because he's such a freak of an athlete. And I feel that if he wasn't such a freak of an athlete, he'd be washed. That's just how I feel about him. And obviously, boxing's an athletic sport as well as a technical sport. But I just more really like the sweet science. I'm really you will know me. Like, I'm a technical head. I like watching technical boxing. And he's just someone. I mean, obviously, he's amazing. He's amazing, but I just don't really enjoy it that much.
What's your second one?
My second one is, it might not even be unpopular. I think all this weight cutting business. I think not just in boxing, but in fight sports. This is from sort of a professional standpoint. I think is ridiculous, and I think it should be completely stamped out. And they need to revamp the whole weigh-in, weight cutting, weights system.
Any clapback on that, on the weight stuff?
No, I agree with that.
Completely agree.
Yeah.
So it's a popular opinion.
Yeah.
Right, it's only cool
when it's your fighter that's, you know, boiling down to beat up and be a bully.
Yeah. Say, let's go to yours. I know you were struggling to come up with one, and you kind of changed the rules a bit. Have you gone back to the original rules, or?
I've got one that's old rules and one that's new rules. Yeah.
All right, go on.
So old rules, unpopular opinion is, I think if there's not going to be an effort to seriously stamp it out, I think every fighter should just be allowed to take PEDs. Just level it, because
that is a madness.
Most of them are on it anyway, bro. Like, and what happens is, like, in my estimation anyway, the fighters that have the access to be able to hide it and shit have the advantage over the other fighters in it who don't have that ability.
You're going to be signing a lot of death certificates. 100%.
Wait,
no, you are going to be signing a lot of death certificates. Not Sate.
But it's happening anyway, bro. Like, it's happening anyway.
I don't know, man.
But don't you think, like, the microdosing is not as... If you're allowed to dose properly, the effects will be way more than if you microdose. Or am I got the...
I allowed the full PEDs, yeah? You have no idea the madness that people will be coming.
I think it should be controlled.
15 rounds as a Duracell bunny, and he's still banging like the first round and throwing 100 shots around.
That'd be elite, though. That'd be elite to watch.
I'll be world champion. give me PEDs now. I'll go and train it. I'll go to win a title, bro.
Say, what's your new school one?
Because I don't think this is actually unpopular. But I think judges shouldn't judge fights in the arena. that I feel like they should be in a VR, like a VAR truck.
Okay.
Because I think they're...
Do judges not get a special insight by being ringside, though?
Nah, I reckon they should have access to replays and stuff.
Mm.
But I think, and I don't know what other tools they need, but I feel like judging is so shit, yeah? And I do think they're skewed by crowd. And I do think it's mad that they're not able to get replays.
Mm.
That's actually a shout.
Paid off. Yeah, that's a good shout. Point, actually. But them lot are paid off. I don't even think it's a bad judging thing. Like, if you look at, for example, the Loma, one of the Loma Teofimo scorecards, that was just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Our friend, the Yard and Lyndon Arthur, one of the scorecards. Like, you can always see there's just one scorecard that's always ridiculous.
And even historically, like the Canelo Mayweather one.
Yeah, yeah. It's always consistent. So you obviously know they're being tapped. Like, there's no other answer for it. You've been sweetened and you're not watching a fight. You're just like, you know what, fuck it. I'll give you this round. Let me give the other guy this round so it doesn't look too big and hope for the best.
There's certain names that once you see the scorecard, you literally know 118, 110 is coming straight away. Like, them numbers are coming regardless.
100%.
Adelaide Bird.
Yeah. 1,000,000%. 1,000,000%.
You know she does UFC as well.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
But UFC scoring is bad sometimes as well.
Yeah,
right?
but they say she's trashing UFC as well.
Mm. Yeah, I know Joe Rogan speaks about her a lot. Seb, what's your unpopular opinion?
If Callum Smith had a trainer very earlier on, like a proper trainer earlier on, he'd be pound for pound top five.
That's currently. A wild, wild shout.
Yeah. Yeah. pound for pound top five.
Why Callum Smith number? Why Callum Smith?
Because when he come out the gate, he had everything. He had all the tools, all the ability. And I'm like, everybody that knows me, when I talk boxing, I always look at trainers, innit? I'm always like one that scouts trainers. I think there's always a certain level a trainer can take you to and you have to leave. It's like when you're trending, somebody has to take you like, so you're trending upwards and you get to a point and then I think like you got to switch it to trend to where you need to go in it. And I feel like a lot of fighters, because of loyalty, they trend upwards and they stay stagnant and they keep staying. So like they'll have one bad fight and then they'll stay and then have another bad fight and they'll stay and then have another bad fight and then they start trending downwards. And for me, when I saw Callum Smith, I can bring you a tweet from like maybe when he made his debut or maybe before that, yeah. I said he'd be world champion, but the way how he got his championship belt wasn't the best in it. But I thought like he'd absolutely batter guys, like as in like similar like to how like long Josh Taylor is and stuff like that. That's how I imagined Callum Smith, like, but just somebody that's just gonna roll guys over. And for me, I feel like he's kind of, he stagnated and he started to trend downwards, but then he's going up. So I don't know what he's going to do at 175. But I personally feel like he had all the ability to be pound for pound top five. But it just, yeah, he is where he is.
I think any fighter that's under Joe Gallagher has a ceiling, like a low ceiling.
All right, cool. I guess we'll finish with my one. My one, I think, is more of like a rule changey kind of thing. I don't know if it's unpopular, but I just hate the way boxing fights and fights in general are scored. Like the fact that it's all done on like 9-10 when 9-10 basis and an 8-10 for like a knockdown or you know, or like a really convincing round, which I don't think is even used that well. I think there needs to be way more discrepancy and there needs to be way more difference in between rounds, because like a round could be quite tight and, you know, it could be given a 9 out of 10, whereas someone could dominate the fight and still be given a 10-9, sorry. So I think that probably needs to change as well. I hate the way boxing is scored and it really pisses me off. But yeah, let's get on to some boxing stuff then. So obviously this weekend will be the first fight of the year, and which is between Ryan Garcia and Luke Campbell. I was quite surprised going into this fight, and because I like to have a look at the bookies odds and stuff like that to look for a bit of value in the market and whatnot. And I was surprised to see that Luke Campbell is like quite a substantial underdog. Like he's 3.6 to win. Ryan Garcia is a heavy favorite. I know it's in America, which is probably gonna, like, you know, be a big advantage for Ryan Garcia. But Leroy, let's start with you. How do you see this fight going? And do you think Ryan Garcia is justified being a favorite? Because I know Samson's calling him a YouTube fighter.
So yeah, I've always called him a YouTube fighter as well, because I've never really rated Ryan Garcia, because he's always built up as a guy in the people who's talked about with Gervonta and that. I thought people like Gervonta would decapitate him. Like, literally, I think it's no... I feel it's like no question. I don't think he should be in the stratosphere, really. But I feel like I've been harsh on him, because I went back and watched some of his amateur fights. I went back and watched some of his fights and his knockouts, etc. Like, he's got some ability. Like, he can box. He's a basic boxer. He's got very good speed. He's got good timing. And he's got some reasonable skills. Now, he's got quite a lot of flaws. But I feel like he's way beneath that level of fighter. Now, it depends on what kind of Luke Campbell we get mentally. Because Luke Campbell, on ability, in my opinion, should win this fight. And that's why I was so surprised he was so long. And if he wins, he's making me a lot of money. So, fingers crossed. But, yeah, I see this fight being quite a close fight. I think it'd be quite competitive. If it's decent on the scorecards, he's going to win, because it's a Golden Boy show. But I still think Luke Campbell's going to win. I'm just not convinced by the level of Ryan Garcia, despite his speed, despite some of his attributes. I'm just not convinced he's going to win. I don't really rate him that highly, to be honest with you.
What would be Ryan Garcia's like main strength, do you think?
Speed. He's got really good hand speed, and he's got decent timing, and he's got a lovely left hook. Lovely counter left hook. But that's pretty much it, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Samson, you called him a YouTube fighter. Is that like similarly echoing Leroy's thoughts on?
Yeah. To be honest with you, I actually, like Leroy said, went back and actually went and checked some of the tapes previously to this fight coming now. Cause I thought, you know what? I was even questioning how he's even got to the level where he's actually on a headline show. I'm genuinely confused as to how he's at this level. But to be fair to him, apparently he's done this thing like growing up through the ranks, like the amateur ranks. He's fought like Haney and stuff back in the day and stuff, which is actually surprising to me, because I genuinely thought he just popped up from...
You think it's an industry plant, yeah?
Yeah. I genuinely thought it was just the fake videos he's got online, which some of them look edited and stuff. Mm. And that's basically pushed him to position purely because of, you know, his background and the lawyer then picking that up as well. Thinking as a marketing tool, he's done a fantastic job. He's done it by himself, isn't it? So fair play to him. But in terms of versus Luke Campbell, I genuinely believe Luke Campbell's just a better fighter. I genuinely believe that if I see Luke Campbell that showed up against Loma or what's the other guy?
Linares.
Yeah, Linares.
Linares.
He beats Ryan Garcia. Ryan Garcia, as far as I'm concerned, I've seen him before in Amir Khan. He's got great hand speed, but you know, he gets clocked and that's the end of it.
It's like a budget version of Amir Khan. I don't even think he's as good as Amir Khan.
Yeah, facts. I agree. Yeah. So I'll be very surprised if Ryan Garcia actually, you know, is competitive to the point where, you know, it's close personally. Mm.
Does anyone actually rate Ryan Garcia here?
No.
He's okay. I don't think he's like amazing. He's okay. Like, as I said, he's got good hand speed. He doesn't do anything fantastically well, but he's got good left hook. He's got good timing, and his flaws are so bad. Like, he leans back. Basically, because he's tall, I feel that's one of the issues with tall guys. Because they're tall, they just lean too much, and that will get you clocked. So once he goes up the levels, he's going to get his ass whooped personally, because I don't trust his chin. But again, he's not really been tested. In regards to this fight, the reason why I feel like Luke Campbell's going to lose no matter what is because to win, when it's a Golden Boy show and you're in America, you have to impose yourself. And Luke Campbell doesn't impose himself. Even in the fights he wins, he doesn't impose himself. Like, he's an Olympic medalist. He's a boxer. So he's going to try to outbox Ryan Garcia. And for me, Ryan Garcia is quick enough where the judges can justify giving him a shit decision. Like, Ryan Garcia doesn't need to land. He just needs to throw a flashy combination, land one out of five, and you can get that round, basically. So Luke Campbell needs to do what I don't think he can do to win, which is why I don't think he's going to win this.
Well, I just thought, so you're basically saying you don't think Ryan Garcia is going to win the fight. You think that he's going to get a shit decision.
Basically.
Yeah, basically.
That says it all, isn't it?
The only thing I say, yeah, in regards to this fight is Teofimo Lopez said something really cool. I think it was either Lopez or his dad, or actually both of them at the same time. Yeah. Basically saying that Campbell's so used to losing. Do you know what I mean? So mentally, like, he doesn't know if he's got it. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Mm-hmm. Because Teofimo was basically saying like somebody like Luke can't beat him, because Teofimo is basically saying, I've never lost, you know what I'm trying to say. And then maybe that could be like the same mentality in regards to Garcia. And also, I want to know how Luke Campbell's, if it does get tough, because again, my sentiments are the same as you guys. I don't really rate Ryan Garcia, but again, sometimes this could be like his opening party, you know what I mean? So if it does get tough for Luke Campbell and he's already lost and stuff like that, how is that going to affect Luke Campbell in the fight? On top of that, knowing that he needs to knock him out to get the win, yeah, how's that going to affect him? Because one, if it's like 9th round or 10th round, you know you need a win, and you know, it's 50-50, how's that going to affect him? I think the mental aspect of it is the only thing that I'm concerned about. But I think he's improved. He's with my boy Shane McGuigan, one of my favorite trainers. He looks really, really good now. He's improved since the Linares fight. The Loma fight was really good. So he should win, but yeah, I just don't know if he'll get the decision.
You're right, because boxing is a mental sport. It's like all about your mentality. Like, it's a massive component. But if I was Campbell, or if I was Campbell's trainer, I'd be going out there to beat him up. I'd be 100% going out there to beat him up. I would 100% be going out there to rough him up. And I think Campbell, if you look at his ability and what he's got, his man strength, he's 37 years old, he should be able to go out there and do that. Just as you said, he should be able to go out there and impose himself. He should be able to go out there and stand in the middle of the ring. He should be able to go out there and beat him in the jabs, even though he's very quick. And he should be able to go out there and proper rough him up around that ring. But mentally, is he going to be able to do that? Is he going to be in a place where he's confident enough to impose himself like that? Because, like you say, because he's been on a bit of a losing streak at the moment, if he's not confident and he lets Ryan Garcia get into a rhythm, get into a nice little rhythm, throwing flurries and stuff like that, it could be like I just said, it could be a points decision. So that's why I think we need to see what kind of Luke Campbell comes out mentally.
You say about like losing streaks, and you know, he's a bit of a nearly man, right? So like, he's never won a world title before, has he, Luke Campbell? No, and he's always fallen short at the last hurdle. But some of those last hurdles have been like the creme de la creme. We're talking about Jorge Linares, Vasyl Lomachenko, and the other loss wasn't it the guy that he beat?
Mendy.
But he avenged that defeat, right? He won the rematch sometime later. So like, do you think though that really takes its factor here? Because, not being funny, like, he's just, those are two really elite fighters. So how much credence do we pay to that? Because these are guys at the top of the game, not just in that weight class, but, you know, two of the pound for pound best fighters in the world.
He's lost two world title fights.
Yeah.
That's the point I was literally going to make. I was going to say, it's not, I feel like we're not giving him the credit he deserves, really, because even those two fights, even though he lost them, he showed a really good account of himself, and he didn't just lose like...
Yeah, they were close fights, right?
They were very close fights, and he definitely pushed those guys. And that's why I keep saying, even though he lost those fights, I still feel like he was game. He was definitely game, and I feel like he would definitely be game enough to deal with a Ryan Garcia, who is a couple levels below them guys.
My thing is...
The only thing I'll say... Oh, is it, go on, say.
No, I was going to say, Campbell gets dropped in every big fight, though.
Mm-hmm. Did he get...
I'm going to put money on him. I'm going to put money on Campbell getting dropped in this fight as well. And I'm going to put money on him getting dropped by a counter left hook.
Also, the only thing is, what I'll say is, like, even when this fight was announced, I'm sure everyone thought, right, this is a risk from Oscar, yeah? But I think the way how Oscar sees it is Linares. So if we go back to the Linares fight, Linares was basically done to the Golden Boy. Do you know what I mean? And Oscar sent him there. He sent him to England thinking, all right, go on. Do you know what I mean? He didn't even come to the fight. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, and Linares put up a world-class performance. Do you know what I mean? He was basically finished, and he resurrected himself, do you know what I mean, on that performance. So I'd say that. But again, since then, Luke Campbell has improved. So it's interesting. Maybe like Oscar don't rate Luke Campbell, but from the outside looking, it looks like bad matchmaking. So yeah, we'll see what happens.
Quick question for you, man. Yeah. is there anything to be said, or is there anything to, like, can you look into the fact that Garcia's with Reynoso? That is one of the best trainers in the world. Do you feel like, because I thought that he was, like you guys, I don't rate him that much, but when he teamed up with Reynoso, I thought there must be something in Mancini.
Yeah. All I saw that he started growing a beard out of nowhere. which is very interesting.
Yeah, he started growing a beard out of nowhere and started looking very, very in shape.
Yeah.
And the thing is, yeah, like, his physical gifts are amazing, isn't it? Like, if Ryan Garcia gets it right, like a lot of fighters, if you do the right things and tighten certain things up, you'll be a dangerous fighter. He's bigger than everyone in the weight class. He's got very, very quick hands. So it's like, if Ryan Garcia gets it right, and the thing we're talking about this fight, Luke Campbell's a credible name. If he goes out and blows him out, like, everyone will be amazed. That will be the making of Ryan Garcia. So it's a risk, but it's a risk where, you know, Luke Campbell's not a power puncher. He's not a guy that can ruin Ryan Garcia's career. Even if he wins, let's say he wins, it's not going to completely ruin his career. It's not going to beat him up. So this could be elite matchmaking from Oscar. It could turn out to be elite matchmaking if things go right. But yeah.
Is there like a danger though that this fight has come a little bit too soon for Ryan Garcia? Because I can't lie, I'm not too familiar with Ryan Garcia. What I've seen of him has been YouTube clips, and I've never actually sat down and thought, oh yeah, Ryan Garcia's fighting, let me pay attention to his fights. I couldn't name you anyone on his record. Is there a danger that this fight has come too soon for him then?
Definitely. I feel like, even though he's had 20 fights, he's been knocking over tin cans. When I actually watched the things, he's been knocking over tin cans. And I feel like the only reason he's at the level he is because he built his social media very early in his career. And that made him a kind of semi-star before a very early stage in his career. So if I was matchmaking him, I would definitely have different fights before this Luke Campbell fight. I'll definitely have some tough people in that before this Luke Campbell fight. However, he's got into himself where obviously people have their governing bodies, and Golden Boy have got himself into a great position in the WBC, where he's got a final eliminator. Now, if you pull him out of the final eliminator, that looks very, very bad. That's bad for business. So he's got to fight Luke Campbell. What else are you going to do?
Fair enough, man. All right, let's get on to some predictions then before we move on to the next topic. what are you thinking for this fight?
Ryan Garcia points.
Leroy?
I'm going for Luke Campbell on points.
Samson?
Yeah, Luke Campbell points.
Seb?
Can I just add, I can't believe Garcia's had 20 fights. I'm shocked by that.
Yeah, 20 fights.
I thought he had like 10.
Let me double check.
Yeah, it's 20 fights. He's 22 years old. He's
yeah. Wow.
He's fighting like once a month though, isn't it?
Yeah, but he's knocking over. He's knocking over Binman, bro. He's knocking over the guy that came to do
Fonseca
my
life. Was calm though. Fonseca was a good opponent, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
I see people outside Dagenham East Station cut that he's fighting.
So, Samson, what did you say? Points.
Points, yeah, Campbell.
Campbell. Seb?
I think Campbell gets robbed, so I think Garcia's going to win somehow.
Jude?
Garcia, UD.
Yeah, I think Garcia's going to get it, but I just wonder. Yeah, sometimes these British fighters, they go to America, they start freezing, man. Why do British fighters always go to America and get knocked out?
The lights.
The lights be shining, man. There's something telling me that Campbell is going to get knocked out.
It's not the light.
And I don't know what it is.
Generally, one of the things I was thinking about, my unpopular opinion, is I feel that us as British fight fans, we love our fighters and we overrate a lot of our fighters. I feel that they're not the level a lot of the time we think they are when they go over there, and then they just get they get shown levels and they get slapped up.
Mayweather versus Hatton.
I was thinking that as well. That's a bad boy example.
I may or may not have.
Yeah, yeah, may or not. Sorry, but yeah, I just feel like
Khan's another one. To be fair,
America is a very, very deep country. Like, there's bare talent out there. So, like, if you look at, say, a British man who's gone to Olympian, an amazing achievement. To get through the American Olympic trials alone, even if you get to the final and lose,
it's mad.
Boxer, you are.
Yeah.
Like, there's just a lot over there. And a lot of the time as well, it's a style thing, because a lot of British fighters have a very similar style, a very similar style of coaching. A lot of them come through that GB system. And I wouldn't say they're factory fighters, but they come out
rigid,
very similar thing, quite rigid, yeah. And you see how many different styles are in America. There's a lot of different styles. And if you've not, and it's a unique place. And if you've not grown up facing a lot of those styles and had that massive amateur background where you've had to overcome all these different types of boxes, a lot of the time, the style mash between British fighters and American fighters doesn't really go in our favor. So I think it's a mixture of them things.
Fair enough, man. All right, cool. Let's move on. Let's bring things back a little bit to domestically, because Leroy, you touched on a good point there about styles. Someone who wasn't, who didn't develop through the British boxing scene, like in traditional means, is Anthony Yard. Obviously, we all know a lot about Anthony Yard. I think everyone here is like quite a big Anthony Yard fan. So let's talk a little bit about his relationship with Tunde and the announcement that he's made on his own YouTube channel as of late. Seb, I'll let you kick things off because I know you got a lot to say about this. Does Anthony need to part ways with Tunde?
Simple, yeah. Do you know what's so mad, yeah? I'm such a cat, yeah. And put up a video today of him training, and he was going past the mirror. I'm trying to look like he's recording. I was trying to see like who's Tunde recording. Like I was trying to see if he had a new guy like recording. I was trying to scope it out and that. But yeah, man. Simple fact is, I just feel like again, Tunde is taking Ant to a good position. You know, he's a professional. He's done, pretty decent, but I feel like there's, for me, I think that there's fundamentals still missing. And also it not even, okay, with Ant, there's fundamentals with Ant, but also in fight fundamentals that I expect from a trainer, I think they're missing. Do you know what I mean? Like I get it. Sometimes, say if we bring this kind of like to football, you get like the man manager, and you get maybe like the coach who's got the tactics and you can do the tiki-taka stuff, and you just get the person that just needs to kick up the ass, or a player that needs to kick up the ass and they take it the next gear. For me, it's evident. I feel like Ant needs more tactical instructions in the corner, because it's two times in three fights where, the lats were on Tunde and all he said was lines in the camp. Do you know what I mean? That's not good enough, bro. It's not good enough to say lines in the camp when your fighter needs you. I know like that's a motivational thing and I love it. Do you know what I mean? It motivates you when, for example, when you're training, you train hard and everybody say lines in the camp, you go that extra mile. However, we're in the corner, when we're in the corner and the fight, okay, if it is going my way, but it's still close, and there's fundamental things that I'm doing wrong, I need you to give me instructions, bruv. Like, the simple things that Tunde could have, given, and simple instructions Tunde could have given and on that day to kind of make that fight much easier for him, potentially force a stoppage, and those instructions wasn't given. So for me, that's the reason why I feel like Ant needs to change. On top of that, there's obviously things that I feel like Ant needs to improve on, but the first thing is get a coach in that's more, technical, that maybe knows how to, I don't know, maybe coach at a higher level. Again, no offense to Tunde. And let's just see where you can go, man. Because again, you've only got one life, and you've tried. But for me, it's time for a change.
Fair enough. Is anyone here that thinks that Anthony should persevere with Tunde, or maybe like an alternative, maybe instead of getting rid of Tunde, I think Seb touched on a good point there. It's like you get different coaches, you get different trainers with different styles who can add Liverpool Drew, yeah, who can add different things. And I just wonder, is there an argument to be made that you can add someone to the team rather than replacing?
I agree that with that. I see that Yardy by nature is a loyal guy. So you can see out of that loyalty, he's going to struggle to get rid of Tunde. So I think maybe the addition and have Tunde's role repurposed might be more successful just to keep him in the camp. From a personal level, I don't personally like Tunde as a trainer. I think he's quite basic. to be honest with you. And I think he's very limited, and it's limited in the sense of experience as well. And I don't know, maybe because I've happened to grow up around some of these people, so I've seen the way Tunde's behaved. I feel like Tunde is a bit of a, he wants the lamb, that like he wants to shine probably more than the fight, more than the fight. He wants to be a name himself, like a bit of a profile. I don't know how far back I can really go, but I remember when he had a fighter, which was his nephew, Otto Davis. He had him.
He was meant
to be Mayweather. Yeah. Like, he was literally meant to be Mayweather. He had him. He had O'Hara Davis.
Yeah.
And then he had Yard.
Yeah.
Them days, he didn't really give Yard and Davis too much light. He only cared about his nephew, and it was all about his nephew. And I remember I used to go around Peacock gyms them times. So it was literally all set up for it's me as the uncle and my nephew. We're basically doing the Floyd and Roger thing here. This is what we're on, and I've got a couple of fighters that just hang around the gym. And then obviously, he's been unable to continue his career, and then he went to Davis. Unfortunately, Davis decided to part ways, and that's when Yard kind of got the spotlight. And this to me kind of says, it's more about me and my profile and who I think is going to get me to where I want to get to, more so than I'm a trainer and I'm invested in my fighters and I want my fighters to do well. Don't get me wrong, of course he wants his fighters to do well, but he's got that separate objective as well. So to me, I feel like, I heard that he's manager as well. He's like player manager.
Yeah.
So I think personally, keep him in your camp because I can see you're a loyal person. I'm always going to root for Yard because, like, the guy came to my fight, do you know what I mean, back in the day. So, cool. Like, he's a cool guy. Like, he's real like that, do you know what I mean? But that loyalty, don't let it harbour you, innit? Like, you've got to do what's best for your career. And if that means going to another trainer, I actually was having a conversation literally yesterday. I was saying that I think Shane McGuigan might be good for him, personally. So I think that adding him into his team would be really good, and getting rid of I don't know that guy's name is that he just spars and says that that's his so that's his main coach. I was thinking that, bro. But one thing I did like as well was that YouTube video. He seemed to have really good self evaluation. Like he really analyzed himself, and there was the only point that kind of made me think. Was him saying that he needs to beast everyone? I was thinking, bro, really and truly, if that's a technical coach or teacher to, like, slip the jab and, get inside and ride,
I like the mentality, though.
I like the mentality,
him saying he wants to run guys over. Obviously, you can't knock everyone out, but if you're going to go into fights now saying, you know what, I'm going to try to knock you out, like, I want to take you out, it means you're going to take more risks. And I feel like that's what's probably hurt him in the Lyndon Arthur fight. He didn't take enough risks. Well, yeah, carry on. I'll talk.
I agree. Like, I agree to that to a degree, because when you get to that top level, knocking people out is not, it's not a given. Regardless of your strength, people can ride shots, people can take shots, people can, there's guys that just got crazy chins at the end of the day. So you're going to have to be technical.
How many knockouts are at the elite level outside of
this? Is it? This is it. Perfect. Perfect. Yeah. So, yeah.
So you mentioned Shane McGuigan there as a potential trainer. I can't remember who said it. I think it might have been Chris Andre. I think it might be Chris Andre or Hatman. One of them mentioned that Adam Booth might be.
Don't tell said that.
I don't tell say that as well. How do you guys think about Adam Booth?
No.
Glorified PE teacher.
Going down the David Hay route.
I don't like trainers yet that have only done it once with one fighter.
But if it works for that style of fighter, then
what about every fighter after that?
Hay and Ant aren't the same style. People always say this, man. Just because they're after
it. Yeah,
it may not be the same style now, but
You can teach Ant that, though. It's not that it's impossible, the reason why I don't think Adam Booth will work for him is because it's so hard to completely dismantle someone's base and then repackage them, in my opinion anyways, to fight a certain way that you want them to fight. The reason why David Hay, George Groves, that worked with Adam Booth is because he was with them for 3-4 years. and hasn't got 3 or 4 years to learn that ambush, box on the outside, rush in, throw combination and jump back out. I don't think he needs to just relearn that. What I think Ant needs to learn is, as we've seen in the last two fights, the main problem, or the last three fights, we should say, the main problem is how to slip the jab and cut the ring off in the inside. Like, those things can be taught by an actual coach who will teach you the technique, like, will teach you the technicalities, which is what he needs to learn. He needs to learn how to cut off the ring, because he has the power, he has the speed, he can throw good combinations, he can set up his shots. We just need to know when the right time to do these things. You don't need to completely repackage your style and start running around like a fake Roy Jones Jr. Because at the end of the day, the ambush style he does for David Haye, said it himself. David Haye says it himself. Like, they took it off Roy Jones. Like, they saw how successful it was. You don't need to engage. If you're athletic enough, you can stay outside the pocket and then you can time your attacks, which it did work for David Haye. But at this level, I don't think that's what Ant needs to progress.
I think you, man, are harsh on Adam Booth, personally. I think Adam Booth will suit some fighters. I feel that it's a little bit of a lazy comparison sometimes by the media to say Adam Booth should be with Ante Yard. The reason is their feet are completely different. I feel that Ante Yard, the way he has his feet at the moment, he will struggle to do what Adam Booth likes to do. And I feel that just because of that, he'd have to literally break down his footwork and start from the beginning. And just for that, I don't think it'll be as good a match as people would think. But that's it. But I feel like Adam Booth is calm. Adam Booth will definitely suit certain fighters. I just don't think he suits Yard.
Agreed.
Who does suit Yard then?
I like Shane McGuigan. I do like. I think Shane McGuigan is very versatile as well. That's one thing. Because what the hell he's done to Okoli?
Amazing.
Bam. I tweeted.
Amazing.
I said, what is this?
Amazing. But the thing is, I knew he'd do that because I rate him so highly. Like, I've been like with him and Josh Taylor, when I was looking at that, I was like, yeah, this is the guy. Like, bro, I just love watching like new coaches, especially young coaches that have new ideas. And he wasn't afraid to like have new ideas. He's not like a traditional, them man are from what, Ireland or Scotland? Or Scotland or whatever, he's traditionally from there or whatever, but he's not one of them man, he's not one of them Brexit man. He's got sauce, you know what I'm saying? Which is really, really cool, man. It's quite refreshing to see. I think, personally, I feel like there's loads of coaches that Ant would do well with in America. Do you know what I mean? I don't want him to be fight in America, because that's a graveyard in itself, but I feel like he should be based with an American coach and work on that, and then obviously fly back and fight here. Don't know how that works, so I don't know if the coach comes here or whatever. But, and then also I feel like Ant should live in the gym and have that coach. And I feel like, yeah, I feel like he'll be world champ.
Just another thing, because Lewis, you were saying about the point of bringing in another coach with Tunde. I've never liked that principle. Too many cooks, and we can get into that when we talk about Joshua. When you've got too many people who are... So a coach has his ideas and he's trying to instill his ideas in his fighter. And if you've got too many voices pulling you in different directions, it doesn't make a good finished article. So I don't really like that's two coach thing. You're going to have one coach, that's the guy that's going to take you to do what, that's going to plan your training sessions. He's going to train you. You can't really have two coaches, man, because it just you get this mismatch and you get... When you're in a fight, you want, obviously you're thinking, but you want a lot of things to be second nature. And if you've got conflicting messages to different scenarios, it's not going to come in. Then you're going to hesitate and then you're going to get caught or something wrong's going to happen. You need to be...
But don't you think, yeah? Like, you see fighters like a Fury, for example, who jumps from one coach to another, yeah? Do you think he could have a similar thing? So like,
you can, but then the thing is, when Fury's having that fight, he's got the single message. So he's comparing the same way for the whole camp. If you're in a camp and you're going Monday, Tuesday, this coach, Wednesday, Thursday, this coach, Friday, Saturday, this coach, it's not going to work for me. It's just, there's too much conflicting messages. So in that fight, all you've been training for, all the sparring you're doing, you've got conflicting messages going on. It just doesn't make sense.
Fair enough.
And I feel like Fury's the wrong example as well.
It's different.
And I also feel like Fury is not the best example. Like, he's a boxing savant. Like, he's learned all these things, like the Sugar Hill style and stuff, the comps. He learned that. He's been doing that. He's been there at the camp. They've taught him that. Do you know what I mean? So it's not like he just all of a sudden develop this style overnight. You know, he's had that base. And he went from a guy who was scared of Wilder. He sussed out Wilder and thought, you know what, I need someone who's going to make me, who I can actually work on attacking. I can work on certain things with him. So, and like I said, Fury can do so many things. He can switch, he can box, he can fight. He's just different, isn't it? So he's different from a yard. He needs to be taught certain things. He needs to learn a lot. Do you know what I mean? So,
fair enough. Let's move on to the next topic then, because Jide, you spoke in your opening gambit about Spence ducking Crawford and. So you're of the opinion that that fight is never going to happen, or do you think that somewhere along the line Spence is going to be forced to take that fight?
I hope he's forced to take that fight. I want that fight to happen. I envision another Khan Brook situation. I see this Ducker who went from strap season, he went from man down. This happens. All these PBC guys, remember Keith Thurman was coming up and chasing Mayweather. It was the same thing. It was headhunting everyone, belt chasing. Then he wants to fight this, wants to fight that, he wants to unify all the belts. That's what he was saying. And then once he got the belts and got his nice, beautiful wife in Nepal and, you know, was chilling, no longer wanted it. So obviously for Spence, it's a bit different. So with him, he gave Crawford a bunch of stipulations to make the fight happen, right? He said, first things first, you need to get a belt, because that time Crawford had no belt. It was a contender in welterweight. So he went and got the WBO. Yeah, got the WBO. That's one. So Crawford said, yo, I got a belt now. Let's fight. He's like, nah, you got to come over to this side of the street. That's completely stupid. Like, you don't need to do that to make a fight, but whatever. That's another stipulation he put out there. Then time goes by, he hasn't fought anybody. Crawford went and fought. Obviously, these names he should have beaten, but he stopped them. He stopped them in good fashion. He stopped everyone. Everyone he's fought at welterweight, he stopped. And although we can say, yeah, they're all past their prime, they're still good fighters. And he fought them and he stopped them. That's not happening. We need to make it 70-30. Listen, there's a thing called pricing yourself out of a fight. You're only talking about 70-30 when you do not want to make a fight happen. And he's saying 70-30. Like, when he said 60-40, I could ride with that, innit? Like, whatever. Obviously, I don't think he's that much of an A-side where he can dictate those sort of things. But let's say he does. You know what? For me, as a boxing fan, because I want that fight to happen, I could say, you know what, Crawford, stop tweaking in it. Accept 60-40. Beat him up. Then when you have your rematch, you can ask for more. Do you get what I mean? Like, a lot of fighters have done it. Mayweather's done it. Everyone's done that. So I believe in your ability to the point where I feel like you should take 60-40. But when you're talking about 70-30 and saying on your own post-fight press conference, why is he here? Why is he at my fight? Why is he watching me fight? I'm not worried about him. Why is he worried about me? But then you have the goal to go to a Canelo fight. Someone else who's on the other side of the street. The guy loves talking about street politics, but Canelo is in a complete other side of the street. And he's also like 3 weight divisions above you. And you're out here talking about, you'd love to fight him at 160. Like, what are you talking about? You know the fight everyone wants to see. You know everyone wants to see the undisputed. Or no, it's not even undisputed. Everyone wants to see Crawford versus Spence. That is this generation's Mayweather versus Pacquiao. That is what everyone wants to see. You know that. And you're making every single excuse. You'll keep widening the goalpost. And people are out here telling me he wants that fight. He doesn't want that fight because my boy will slap him, slap his head silly, beat him up, beat the crap out of him, and he knows it.
Let me bring Samson in because he's shaking his head profusely over there, man. And so is Leroy, to be fair.
I can't believe the narrative you just spun there. First of all, that 70-30 was said in context of a larger sentence. The full sentence was Terence Crawford has to come off his high horse and accept 60-40 or 70-30 or whatever we're going to give him. All he's done was solidify, I'm the A-side, and you need to stop talking about what is 50-50 or 60-40 my way because it's not going to run. And that was it. So stop gaslighting, bro. Stop it, please.
That's not gaslighting.
Yeah.
That's not,
and secondly, just yeah. And secondly, so since Like, I don't like to do this whole, you know, opinion and putting assumptions in there. I'll go with facts, yeah? The facts are, since Crawford has been at 147, yeah, his fights has been a Jeff Horn. Yeah, I'm not even going to comment on Jeff Horn's ability. We've got Benavidez, who basically was one-legged. We've got a Amir Khan, who has been washed. I can't remember the guy's surname, but the machine, innit? The machine who dropped Crawford, yeah? And Kell Brook, who basically has no eyes. Yeah? Errol Spence, in the meantime, has just come off fighting Danny Garcia after a horrific car crash, yeah? Prior to that, fought a Porter, yeah? And prior to that, he fought...
Lamont,
yeah, you got Lamont Peterson. Yeah, he's gone from back-to-back titles, top opposition in his weight class, whereas the other guy who's hiding behind the top right banner, knowing full well he was safe when he re-signed with Bob Arum, he knew when he did that move, yeah, he was not going to fight anyone of any substance. He knew that. Since I like Crawford, the thing is, people make this whole Spence versus Crawford is making people think I don't like Crawford. I've rated Crawford from time. I've been shouting this guy's name from when the guy had dreads. So this guy is a serious guy. But at 147, I'm sorry, bro. You ain't stacking over here. You ain't making any real claims to say that I'm a top guy at this weight. Right now, off the same narrative you said about 70-30, do you understand that right now his mandatory is Porter and he just offered Porter 1M? And gave Kell Brook 2 M's.
Yep.
I already said, go on face Porter, because if you do that, your stocks rise, because it's a very credible opponent. Why are you scared, bro? What's going on here?
How can you be scared? Come on, that's ridiculous. Porter's a mandatory. If Porter really wants to fight, he knows what he has to do. Enforce the mandatory. It's not that deep.
Why does he have to do that? Why does he have to do that?
Why is Crawford
not running at that fight?
Crawford says he wants. We know the fight Crawford's chasing. Like,
you know what? Yeah.
We don't need to pretend. Like you said, you're going off facts. He's fought. Yes, he's fought Garcia. But what did these men have to do to earn that fight? They did nothing. They didn't have to do anything to earn
at 10 past 10.
And you know that.
Yeah. At 10 past 10 on the 30th of December, I'm telling you now. Crawford's next fight will be a Lopez or Loma because they're under top rank. Top rank fighters fight top rank fights. That's it.
PBC fighters fight PBC fighters. You're not making any point.
That's a narrative. Let me bring
Say into the conversation.
They fight in house. They don't like going out.
Crawford's last few fights weren't top rank fighters though. Brock, they weren't top rank fighters.
They were people that basically had to take the money because they haven't got a check.
They weren't top fighters. They weren't top ranked fighters though. But my thing is, why are you pushing the idea of Crawford fighting Porter? Like, don't you want to see unification?
Of course I do. I definitely do want to see that. But what I'm saying is, if that fight doesn't happen, yeah, please take on your mandatory next. I don't want to see you take on any other fighter that is not a worthy opponent for you to be a 147 apparent top name, yeah, which I do think Crawford is a special fighter. I'm not disputing that, but special fighters have to have the right opposition, you know. It takes two to dance at the end of the day.
But why was that not the case with Mikey Garcia then?
Max, tell him, ask him.
What did Mikey Garcia do at 147?
Nothing. He ain't done nothing at 147.
So how come why did he deserve the fight? Because
he didn't deserve the fight. The only reason
no one complained about it though.
This is the thing, right? Because Jide's main thing is always like, we're fans, we're not promoters. But you have to take your head and think, right, if I'm an advisor, if I'm a promoter, what am I going to advise my fighter to do to make the next step? He fought Mikey Garcia because Mikey Garcia is a massive fucking name, massive in the Latino community. They did it on, was that his first pay-per-view or something like that? Because he wanted to build his profile. That was literally it. No one gives any credit from a sporting perspective for Spence battering Garcia. No one gives a fuck because he's a little guy. That was literally a tactical thing to go and take it to the next level. So like, look, let me get the Latino audience. I'm in Dallas. Dallas is full of Latinos anyway. I need to bring my profile so I can then become a pay-per-view fighter. So that's why I took that fight. But I want to address some points that Jide said because he's pissing me off anyway. But anyway, so right. We're talking about the 60-40 thing, yeah? So let's look at the actual timeline. When Spence was spoke to about for the fight first time, he said 60-40 is about right. We all agreed 60-40 was about right. That's the first thing.
That wasn't the first time.
Now, that was the first time. Then that went back to Crawford. Then someone asked Crawford, what do you think of that? And he said, well, Ed, the fight ain't happening because it's a 50-50 fight. So
facts.
Crawford has said, this is the facts. Crawford has said the fight is not happening because it's 50-50. So Spence didn't say the fight won't happen. He said it will happen at 60-40, which we all agreed was fair.
Facts.
It goes back to Spence. And Spence is like, this guy's taking a piss. I am the A side. So he even said 60-40 first or 70-30 to establish yourself. Look, you need to stop moving mad. I am the A side and that's it. You're going to take 60-40, 70-30. I'm getting a lion's share. That was the second. There is Spencer's never said he won't take that fight. Crawford has said that fight ain't happening if it ain't 50-50. That is the facts of the situation. That's
facts.
Now, Leroy, I have to jump in, yeah, because you've started the timeline in a convenient place.
Convenient. The convenient.
Man doesn't start on the Canelo fight.
He's talking about the percentage, and he because the reason I started it is because he used the percentage as a point, so I wanted to talk about that. Now I want to go back because I was going to talk about side of the street because that was when all of the stuff started. Right, okay. If I'm a promoter or if I'm a fighter, right, I'm with PBC, he's with Top Rank. So we all know that boxing cross promoters is difficult to make fights. It's not easy. They can happen because they've got exclusive TV deals. They've got a lot of legal things to get through. It can happen, but it's not easy, right? I have all of the best welterweights who have, a lot of other ones have belts, so I had to unify because the WBC was my side. I got my IBF off Kell Brook. Why am I not going to, number one, take the fights that are easy to make because they're in my label? So I'm going to go and unify over there. I'm going to fight this top guy. I'm going to fight this top guy. Number one, make a hell of a lot of money on the way. And number two, clearly say the hardest fight till last. So I know I can beat him, and him. No problem. No problem at all. They're on my side. Easy to fight. Going to make loads of money and save the hardest fight till last. I'm going to fight all of them guys first because it's easy to do. That is a path of least resistance. That is what you are going to do. That is what any kind of promoter would tell you to do. And that's what any kind of fighter would do. Then the next step. That is what any fighter would do because that's how you think it. That's how boxing works, bro.
Mayweather.
Your boy has done the same thing with, was trying to do the same thing with Wilder, but let's not jump into that.
No, he wasn't. Wilder is proof of the PBC BS of them.
Wilder's a duck boy.
We're out here saying, Spence can ask for 60-40. He's definitely the A side. But we out here, we also saw Wilder completely fabricate a whole narrative to the point that he was given, promised 50-50. He still said no. He was promised 100 million. It's a PBC thing. Heyman said no, fuck with that shit. I'm going to fight as much bums as possible and somehow save the Joshua fight for last. That's basically what you're saying.
The thing is, Spence is fighting the top competition.
Thank you.
Because the best guy, the best.
He's fighting the best. That is what any sensible manager would do for their fight.
Cool. But we know.
And then, so when you wrote back your fighters thing, you say, right, you're going to fight them, and them, and then we're going to unify. And the other reason he's doing that is exactly what's happened. He has built his profile. So I know you have problems with pay-per-view, yeah? But pay-per-view in America is different nowadays. It's not back in the days where Tyson and them used to do millions and millions and millions and millions of pay-per-view buys. Nowadays, 200K is a good pay-per-view. Apart from Canelo and apart from the heavyweight.
Why is that? Because
he is the only one who, no one generates more pay-per-view than him. He generates more than Javonta. He generates more than everyone else. And because he's had these fights against these big names, he's built his name to the point now, when it comes to the money fight, he gets the lion's share. And that's how you, that's Al Heyman, that is how you do, that's how you build a fighter.
Just done 12 cases in the pandemic.
I don't disagree with Leroy, yeah. I think that course is a very logical and it makes sense, yeah. But I think that enhances the point, right? It just enhances and makes it clear to me that that's the given route. Because when Terrence and Errol Buck backstage, I can't remember what fight it was, and Terrence asked Spence, what's happening? Like, what's Al saying? They had their route mapped out, which is similar to what Leroy just described. But if that's the case, then say that. And if that's the case, then the only outcome or the only thing I can think of is we are not fighting you now, we're fighting you later, which means to me that the ball's in Errol's court. Errol's the one, is the reason why the fight's not happening now, because they have this path already etched out. So in my mind, what are we talking about here?
If we take 60-40, if that happens.
Yeah, exactly. So it wouldn't have happened before he fought Garcia because he still had that fight. It wouldn't happen before he unified with Sean Porter. Now he's actually fought them. So now the only sensible thing is you either take the Pacquiao fight because you know you're going to get 20 million instead of 3 mil, or 20 million instead of 5 mil, or 20 million instead of 10 mil, which is fine. And you become an instant overnight legend because you beat Pacquiao. He's never getting the Pacquiao fight. We know that. But that's what I would be advising him to try and chase. If he doesn't get that, then take Crawford. And you take Crawford. And if you do Crawford at 60-40 and you can't get a Pacquiao fight, I guarantee that happens next. And he's not scared or running scared. He took the sensible route, which just makes complete sense from a boxing perspective if you know what boxing management's about.
Not from a boxing perspective.
No, as a business. That's the right.
But that's how boxing.
But we're fans. You want the best fights. We want the best fights. We want the best fights when we want them. The part reason why 200K is such a good thing now is because the sport is dying. The sport is dying because we're not getting the fights we want. Yeah. And that's just a fact.
I agree. That's just reality. He's not a fan. He is a boxer and he's got a manager who's a boxing manager. So you have to, when you understand people's decisions, you have to go in their shoes and see what is sensible from their perspective.
No, I can understand it. I don't agree with it.
I want AJ when he was just starting out. I wanted him to fight Fury in his fifth fight, but that's stupid. That's a stupid thing.
That's an exaggeration.
To do from a boxing perspective.
Come on, bro. That's an exaggeration.
Let's blurred. Let's move on.
Last word.
But anyway, carry on.
Let's move on because I think we've beat that fucking topic to death, and we can return to it at a later date.
Can I just add before we move on? One day the ducker
will grow some balls, man. Can't wait.
Let me just add, Spence absolutely ruins Crawford.
Yeah, man, we love that. Hopefully, he does, man.
And he can fight Canelo. Me and Julia got this long time bet. I've screenshot it since 2015.
Yeah.
I will spend your money on something. I'll bring what I bought to your house.
Hey, run me that bet, please. Run me that bet. That's easy money.
He's definitely gonna smoke Crawford if he keeps leaving it.
Let's move on to the next topic.
Kind of Asian.
It is quite frustrating though that like. Obviously, these big fights that we're kind of being robbed of. And I understand Jide's point as like from the fan perspective, we want to see the big fights, right? We want to see these big fights. And I understand like, obviously another fight that we want to see is AJ and Fury. probably more likely to happen.
Because
it ain't happening for a while.
You don't think AJ Fury is happening?
No, don't let
interesting. Because I think that's happening.
Sky Sports are running the narrative and they proper send it up. He's fighting Usyk next.
You really hate Eddie, don't you?
Bro, I've seen this over and over again and I just see the public get fooled over and over again with the same play.
Like who though?
Eddie's been doing this from day dot. He's been running this narrative about certain fighters.
Like who though? Like who?
Like AJ. Let's put it this way. There's three main heavyweight fighters.
Yeah.
AJ's fought none of them. But he's managed to keep his stocks high because of great match. Don't get twisted. No, as much as I dislike Eddie, if I was an active boxer, please get me Eddie Hearn because he keeps me the safest fights and creates...
Safest fights?
I said what I said. Ludicrous.
AJ's got the best CV in boxing.
But he hasn't faced the most dangerous fights.
But that's not his fault.
Regardless, he hasn't faced the most dangerous fights. But he's got the best CV. So, like I said, if I was an active boxer, I would absolutely need a Eddie Hearn to navigate my career, to get me a world title from Charles Martins of the world. Please.
I thought earlier on in the podcast, you were saying, don't go Eddie Hearn, your career stagnate. So which one is
it? No. I said, if your name isn't AJ, then your career is finished. But if your name is AJ, and I would pray that I could do the same marketing, come up with the same, you know, perfect image so I've marketed perfectly so that Eddie's like, yeah, this guy's gonna make me some money. I'm gonna get a couple more APs of this guy. Because once you can do that, Eddie's he's into you, innit? He's got you. And if I was an active boxer, please, Eddie Hearn, get me those world title shots, yeah, that are safe and I'll have no issues or I shouldn't lose until I meet.
Just a quick question, yeah. When Leroy was talking about Errol Spence's path, you were nodding your head. So what's the difference between Errol Spence's matchmaking and path to AJ's in your estimation?
Errol Spence wants all the smoke. clearly.
No, but when Leroy said these are winnable fights, the reason why he should take them is because they're on the same side of the street as him and they're all winnable fights. What's the difference between that?
I genuinely believe Poulter was more of a risk to Errol Spence. And okay, Garcia, maybe not so much, yeah. But at the time, some of the fights that Spence has got into at the time were seen as credible, dangerous fights. I've never seen AJ in a fight that I thought this guy is probably going to lose. There's a chance of him losing. I've never seen AJ in a fight I thought, yeah, this is long.
Bro, so once. Wait, what fight?
In the heavyweight division, bro. And in a, do you think if a Wilder had the last 10 fights that AJ had, are they not risky? Like,
I don't think Wilder loses. I can't lie to you. I generally don't. Yay. I don't. I'm being dead serious.
He loses against one of them.
At the timing of the fights when AJ took him, bro.
He loses against Klitschko.
Wilder is not losing to no Charles Martin. It's not happening. Don't let
him. Yeah, but you've chosen the weakest opponent there.
I'm always going to use Charles Martin because I can't believe that Charles Martin gets brought up as a name as, I've got a world title.
No. Charles Martin. He shouldn't be brought up, but you can bring up people like Povetkin, you can bring up people like Klitschko, Parker, all of these guys.
Klitschko. You know what, I wish that I took screenshots. When
even Dillian White, he fought Dillian White after 15 fights.
Bro, in all fairness, that's one fight I actually did think that was, I went to that fight and I thought that was actually a proper competitive, potential lost fight, could lose fight, But outside of that, bro, I can't lie to you. AJ versus Klitschko, I think people, because they like AJ, they're getting motive and their emotions, it clouds their judgment to a degree. When AJ versus Klitschko was made, AJ was supposed to run through Klitschko in 5 rounds. That was the narrative.
No, he wasn't.
Let me land. The odds was heavy in AJ's favor. Klitschko had just sat his ass for 2 years.
He sat his ass for two years.
And off the back of that, he had just lost to Fury. AJ was meant to run through him in 5 rounds. That was the narrative. The fight was a great fight. I was pumped up when AJ went through that fight. And I was gassed he won. But I didn't forget that, you wasn't supposed to be in this predicament against Klitschko.
That was the best Klitschko we've seen. This is crazy agenda.
How many fights did AJ have before he fought Klitschko?
18. He was 17. 18, I think that was
his
18th fight.
I'm sorry. For someone who only started boxing late, for someone who didn't have that much championship experience, even though he went all the way to Olympic finals, for someone who only had 18 fights to fight Vladimir Klitschko, who was in shape, who has the most ridiculous pedigree ever.
Wait. I'm not discrediting him. I'm just saying what the narrative was and how it flipped once the fight happened. That's all I'm doing. You get what I'm saying?
I didn't really see that narrative, but if it was that, that was wrong. I genuinely wish I could.
If I had time, I'm gonna set myself homework to go and try and find the papers. I wouldn't
be surprised if that was a narrative, but
it's the British fans.
Well, we're boxing people, innit? I knew that fight was a bit techie still because.
I remember Hearns pushing it, saying it's 50-50. Of course, he's going to say that. But I didn't think it was going to be AJ's going to run through him. Like, it was for me, it was always going to be a tough fight. The Fury fight, Klitschko got outboxed. He didn't get beat up. And, he was spending all his time trying to chase a rematch against Fury. And Fury was going through his issues, so he couldn't get that fight. And the next best thing was AJ. That is literally the timeline. Let's not cap. That is what it was. And
this is
Samson White. So why do you think the Fury fight's not going to happen?
Because he's gone. First of all, he's got issues with the whole Wilder situation. Anyway, that fight's more likely going to take place for third fight. First of all, and secondly, this narrative, and this is what I say about Hearn, and he just chats shit. You're not going to give up your belts, bro. Stop it. Why are you lying for, bro? You're literally lying. And say, we'll give up the belts and we're gonna give up all our belts. We don't mind because we want the biggest fight now, and we're gonna get the big. Shut up. Who are you fooling? But the public are now going to say, oh, yeah, AJ wants the fights. He's even prepared to give up the fights, the belts. Then when he goes to fight Usyk, he's going to go and say, because Fury didn't want it because he went to go and face Wilder, etc. And so we thought we might as well go and fight a mandatory, which was already in play. It's always in play. It's always been in play prior to his last fight. It was we know he's going to fight. He's going to fight flipping Pulev. And once he beats Pulev, he's going to run straight into the Usyk. This whole flip.
You know what?
The Usyk fight, don't get me wrong. I don't think they want that Usyk fight. If you would have said to me, AJ doesn't want that Usyk fight, I would have said, cool. I would have agreed with you. That Usyk fight is such a banana skin. It's so high risk, low. It makes zero sense. The Usyk.
Oh, you're not capping, man. You're not definitely capping. Please,
makes zero sense.
Are you overweight Usyk or underweight AJ?
Could make 200, 300 million from them fighting. Why wouldn't they do it? This is prize fighting. Why would they fight Usyk when they can have an undisputed fight for five times more money?
The reason why I think Matchroom and Eddie want that fight, yeah, is because, and this might be, I don't know, quote-unquote unpopular opinion, but I think Eddie Hearn is not as confident that AJ can keep winning as he was. So
I agree.
The time to roll the dice. And I think when AJ was fighting Pulev, I think Eddie was rattled throughout the whole fight. I think he was finished. Like, I think they know that this is the time, bro. This is the time. Even the way AJ fought, he fought like someone who has to get through that fight to get to the big one. That's what it looked like to me.
I genuinely think that AJ can afford to lose to Fury without his stocks dropping too much, because he's expected to, like, on public perception, to lose to Fury.
That's why I feel like they're gonna take the.
I'm not even trying to say that AJ's ducking Fury, by the way. I'm just saying, like, the narrative of I'm trying to make the fight happen next is, you know, because you're not gonna lose your belts, because you're literally losing your bargaining power. Yeah, you're gonna go for your mandatory and defend your belt. So.
I think they want the fight. They definitely want it. They've been wanting it. They've been talking about it. As you said, the three big heavyweights, the three-headed dragon. AJ hasn't fought Fury or Wilder. And I would say, listen, fair play to Wilder for using AJ, and fair play to Fury and Wilder for using AJ's name to build up their profiles to the point where they sold a beautiful narrative. They made it seem, Wilder and his team, PBC, Heyman, made Victor Ortiz, made Luis Ortiz seem like a dragon, a beast, when his best twin was fucking Brian Jennings. They've done such a great job. They've done such a wonderful job building up Wilder's profile. The guy,
you don't agree with that?
He's buried himself. He can't be the most serious guy on your CV, man.
He has buried himself. I'm going to let him finish, but I'm going to destroy him.
Let me talk. You're not going to destroy anyone. Anyway, Luis Ortiz, his best win is freaking Brian Jennings. They talk about his amateur pedigree. What did he do in the amateurs? He accomplished nothing. Like, let's keep it true. He accomplished nothing in the amateurs. Like, a Cuban heavyweight, you ain't won no fucking bullshit. And like, oh my God. A 90-year-old fighter. But anyway, so before the AJ palaver, this guy was making $3 million a fight. They offered him $12 million. He said, no, slave wages. The guy went out, he started talking shit. They offered him $20 million. He said, no. They offered him 60-40. He said, no. He said, 50-50 or nothing. He got Fury to come out of retirement because this guy had mental health issues. He's thinking, as you said, as Heyman, they're smart people. They're thinking, you know what? We can knock Fury over. He's not himself. We can put his name on our record. And if we knock out Fury and beat him, then we can go into potential future negotiations with AJ as the A side. It's an ego thing. Wilder wants to feel like the A side. They offered this guy $100 million. He said no. So he said no to 12, he said no to 20, he said no to 60-40, and he said no to 100 million. Cool. He fights Fury. We saw what happened. Fury, 120 million. Obviously, that's the extra 20 was including the other bum, whatever his name is, man. Brazil, yeah. But we don't really care about that. But anyway, they had this fight. We saw what happened. He got his ass whooped the second time. Loses the first time, then gets his ass whooped the second time. And we know that is what's holding up a potential undisputed fight, because the undisputed fight is what AJ and Hearn has been chasing. They've been chasing that fight clearly. They've been clearly, and even with Tyson Fury said himself, yeah, they offered him 60-40 and he said no. Fury chose Wilder over AJ 60-40, and there's a reason why he done that. We all know AJ's the cash cow. We all know AJ's the proverbial A-side in this division. We know that. But these guys don't want 60-40. They want 50-50. It's an ego thing, number one. And number two, they know that they can build their profile. They spun the narrative. They work together. It's fantastic. They got all these old heavyweights to come out and say AJ don't want the fight, although these men be sending a million contracts and getting air, whatever. It works. It works perfectly. I'll give them. Also, I'll give them credit.
AJ and Eddie dropped the ball in the narrative as well. They didn't manage it properly, bro.
Yeah, no, they didn't. They didn't manage that narrative. Like they completely lost the public battle in that situation. They got played so well, but to now come and pretend that they didn't want the fight is the most disingenuous thing. When Wilder, his resume, let's look at who this guy fought. He fought Ortiz twice. He fought fucking
Brazil.
Brazil. What's that other guy's name, man? The
Molina.
Gerald Washington. Look at Molina. Yeah. Look at the Spilker. These are the so-called big bad wolves that my man's fighting. While AJ is out here fighting Parker, he's out here fighting Povetkin, he's out here fighting Takam, he's out here fighting he's fighting live heavyweights. While my man, Wilder, is fighting bums. And Fury, also fighting bums. The thing about Fury is that Fury is so lucky. He's the people's champ. Like, he's that guy that can fight anyone he wants in between big fights, and it's a gift.
He gets away with it, and can chuck it on pay-per-view as well.
And he can do it. He gets away with it. It's beautiful for him. And you know what? I ain't mad at it, because one thing I like about Fury is when we know he's a fighting man, he will fight regardless.
He takes on the top challenges.
He will fight. But Fury fights bums in the interim.
But he takes on the top challenges.
Yeah. I'm sure he does. But he fights bums. Like, he fights freaking.
He takes on the top challenges.
Pianetta. Imagine if AJ fought Pianetta. You'd love it. You'd be chatting the most shit.
And that sounded like he takes on the top challenges.
Oh my God, Pianetta. Why is he fighting that guy? That's what you'd be on. And we both know that. Like, we both know that.
I'm not buying.
No. He just fights the biggest. You can't hate on Fury, man.
He takes the biggest fights.
But he doesn't fight the top challenges. He doesn't fight the top 10 guys.
If you're a top one heavyweight, you need all of your fights to be top 10 heavyweights. That's taking.
Yeah. He doesn't do that. Yeah. Facts. He doesn't do that.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, you know, his record since beating Derek Chisora, is
it's dead.
Imagine.
It's dead.
At the time, Derek Chisora was actually a risky fight.
That
was a long time ago. Let's not forget, at the time that was a proper top challenge. And Derek, he beat Klitschko in his back fight. Home. At the time he was.
But Klitschko was he's meant to run.
But either way, you know what? Yeah, you mentioned something about Luis Ortiz, yeah? And yeah, you know what? This is where I'm saying I hate Eddie Hearn, yeah? Even though I don't like Eddie Hearn. Even though as a fan, yeah, I don't like Eddie Hearn because I see what you're doing, I see how you're spinning this year, but you chat shit.
I'm not spinning.
Okay,
anything.
Look, like, in 2017, after he faced Klitschko, you know what? Thank God for the internet, innit? You can't lie, man.
Yeah, of course.
Anthony Joshua gets yet another mandatory challenge thrown at him. IBF and WBA World Heavyweight Champion Anthony Joshua has been ordered to take the mandatory challenge against Luis Ortiz next. Why did that fight happen? That would have been great for your stocks here to say at that point in time you have taken on a top challenge, a proper opposition that we think can potentially skin you.
When are we talking about?
This was 2017. He was his mandatory. You know what Eddie Hearn done? He done the maddest move I've ever seen. Like, one of the maddest moves I've seen. He signed him. He signed Luis Ortiz and said, yeah, you're going to get the fight. And my man had him fight, what's this guy's name?
Dave Allen.
And just had him on
Scott. Yeah, but he was awful. Luis Ortiz was awful.
Bro, you're going to say that. All I'm saying, if you had beaten Luis Ortiz at that time, it shut up a lot of people.
He tried to build up Ortiz's profile.
He didn't want Anthony Joshua, his prized asset, inside there with a Luis Ortiz who was hella big.
He offered Ortiz the fight.
Yeah, he signed him and had him fight two fighters.
No, but shall I tell you why you're trying shit? Because he fought Parker instead of Ortiz.
And
I'm not because in 2017 you can go look at Boxrec right now. In 2017 his last fight was Klitschko.
That's not what happened. It was Takam, bro.
He fought Klitschko in in what's it called, in about April 2017. He fought Takam at the end of the year because he was meant to fight Pulev, because he was meant to fight Pulev and Pulev ducked out. And Pulev ducked out of the fight.
The IBF got called first.
So the IBF got called and then Pulev ducked out of the fight and then they fought Takam as a replacement.
Because he quit the WBA.
And then they fought Parker.
The WBA couldn't have been next because he just won it against Klitschko.
But regardless, we know for a fact that my man him, said no to 8 million. We know for a fact Ortiz ducked AJ. We know for a fact.
Whoa.
I'm talking about
2017 when it would have mattered.
2017, he chose the IBF got called first, and that's a fact.
Bro, he ducked him. Eddie Hearn, Protection Hearn, yeah, came in and said, protection, my asset is not losing for nothing. On my balance sheet, I need AJ as an asset. I can't afford to have this guy lose this fight against Ortiz. If he had beat Ortiz, I would not be able to speak on this. And by the way, I keep saying, I like AJ and I don't mind the way he's created.
You sound like you fucking like him, mate.
No, come on, man. I'm just saying, as a boxing fan, yeah, I'm annoyed that he hasn't fought certain fights at certain times, and the fact he hasn't taken the biggest challenge. Yeah,
although he has the best resume. Yeah?
But if from a boxing perspective, he has been managed absolutely perfectly, apart from the slip up with flipping
Ruiz,
yeah, which none of us saw coming. Do you know what I mean?
I'm surprised you don't love AJ the way you love Floyd. Then,
what do you mean?
You know what I mean, bro?
You're talking about a linear weight.
Did Floyd take all the fight to the right time? Yes or no?
We're talking about when you're talking about Floyd, yeah. Like to me, so I look at it as there's two halves that guy's career. A PBF cannot be spoken. It's a myth. And you talk about old man,
who was getting
paid and still beat all the top challenges in his weight class.
We know he didn't fight all the guys at the right time, though. We just know that.
Like, we're talking about a lineal champion in several weight classes. Literally, go on his box record. I think he's got like 20 world champions he's beaten. Don't do that, bro. That's disrespectful.
We know he didn't fight the guys at the right time.
Yeah, I know Samson's triggers, man.
Yeah, my chest is burning.
The reason why.
But we know he didn't. Like, he didn't fight Mosley at the right time.
God's sake.
Mosley, I know you don't watch boxing.
Come on, you know I do. You definitely know.
I know you don't. You just skim through it. You look at highlights on YouTube. That's what you do.
Yeah, sure, of course.
Because if you watch, for you to say Mosley is mad, Mosley was meant to fight Mayweather. Mayweather was chasing him, and Mosley said he's got a toothpick. He can't take the fight. Don't do that, bro. I'm going to give you the facts.
I would do that. When they were lightweights, Mosley didn't fight Floyd.
Mayweather was chasing him. Don't do that, bro.
I know that. But then when I tell you that AJ's chasing certain man, you're like, nah, man, you should have fought IBF mandatory. That didn't get caught first. You should have fought the WBA. Should have chased Ortiz. When we know the timeline, the way you're applying nuance to Floyd Mayweather, you refuse to apply the nuance to
How dare you? How are you doing this?
Facts. I'm doing this because I'm telling you.
You're talking about somebody who has fought everybody. Everyone in his weight class, he fought them. Versus someone who hasn't fought the two names that
were... I'm a Floyd fan. He didn't fight everyone in his weight class. We know he didn't. God. He didn't. What? He didn't fight. He didn't fight Paul Williams, and he didn't fight Margarito. Oh, wow. You know that. No, but that's facts.
Paul Williams was a welterweight champion. Why didn't he fight Paul Williams?
He was retired at that period, I can't lie. That was the first time he retired the money. But bro, you know that. We know that. Listen, we are applying nuance for Floyd Mayweather, rightfully so.
But
like I said, PBF and money Mayweather are two different fighters.
We're not applying that same nuance. We're not applying that same nuance.
Just taking it back to AJ though, and just to wrap things up a little bit. Who agrees with Samson and thinks that fight doesn't get made this year?
100% gets made for me.
I think it does.
I think the bigger threat is Corona, not Wilder.
That's a shout. But hopefully, what? Dr. Leroy, it's all going to be done by April, right?
Well, I need vaccines. I need to keep getting out these vaccines, but we'll get there soon.
All right, let's call things a day there. I think it's been an eventful pod.
Can I just add in? Yeah,
go on.
That Mayweather fought De La Hoya and took, I think 73. You know,
just saying. Just putting that out there,
like, you know, yeah, certain fighters are saying that.
But Oscar makes about 50 million a fight, innit? Like, we cannot compare Oscar fucking De La Hoya.
I'm just saying certain fighters understood their level.
A man that makes 200,000 pay-per-views, you're trying to compare to Oscar De La Hoya.
I'm just saying certain fighters took the fight, innit? Certain fighters understood their position and took the fight. That's all I'm saying.
You can accept 70-30 when my man will bless you. Him giving you 30% is giving you about 20 million. That's him blessing you.
My man took the fight and spent for 50 bags.
You know what I mean? Like,
bro, bounce back load. He wants to fight for a bounce back load, bro. No, come on.
Apparently, Crawford can't fill a room with his own family right now, bro. It's peak, bro.
But listen, tell Spence to get in the ring with him, innit? That's what I'm saying.
on that note, we'll call it a day.
We need to go into Jide's opinions on weight jumping. He chats so much shit and I want him exposed.
Next episode, we'll do that.
Listen, you're just mad that Loma got exposed, man.
Hey, bro, I'm not. The thing is,
I hear it, man. You're gonna ask Canelo
to go and fight a Crowley if he wins. That's what you're going to do.
I can't lie, Canelo win. Canelo wins. That guy's unbeatable.
Yeah, it's true. We didn't even touch on Canelo, but. Next episode, man. We've done a lot today. Cool. Guys, thank you for joining me. Follow us on ringside_frackers on Twitter. Give us your thoughts on the podcast, any opinions, any feedback would be much appreciated. And we'll see you next week. Take it easy, lads.
That's up.
Yeah, Lennox Lewis. Lennox, I'm coming for you.
Is it frustrating to train like you did and then have less than 7 or 8 seconds?
For this fight. I only trained probably 2 weeks or 3 weeks for this fight. I had to bury my best friend. And I dedicated this fight. I wasn't going to fight. I dedicated this fight to him. I was going to rip his heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lynch is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm from Nairclaw. There's no one that can match me. My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable. And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
Now Mike.